Magandang araw, Podmates! Si Howie Severino muli na nagpapaalala na nakakatalino ang mahabang attention span. Ang guest natin ngayon ay isang journalist, professor at researcher na nakafocus ngayon sa artificial intelligence o AI at ang mga epekto nito sa media at sa ating lahat. Si Professor Carol Ilagat na nagtuturo ng journalism sa UP Diliman at matagal ko nang kasama sa PCIJ kung saan ako ay naglilingkod bilang chair ng Board of Editors. Magandang araw sa iyo, Carol, and welcome to my podcast.
Magandang araw, Howie. Maraming salamat sa imbitasyon.
Carol, I was in the audience last week sa iyong presentation sa 3rd National Conference on Investigative Journalism. Ang pamagat ng iyong talk ay Co-opting AI or Artificial Intelligence, Investigating AI, no? So please tell us about this research project. Maraming namangha dun sa audience, no? So what do you mean first by co-opting AI?
This research is for a book. Ang tawag dun sa libro ay Future of Media in Asia. So it's a book series. So in particular, may pagtutok sa media. Titingnan ano ba ang magiging future natin. Well, maybe for a few years already na pinag-uusapan yung AI. So naisip ko na tingnan natin kung kumusta na kaya yung uptake ng AI sa Pilipinas at sa iba't ibang bansa in Southeast Asia. Although kailangan kong banggitin na no, Sir Howie, you know naman na the research is yet to be published. So I might not be able to provide details, pero at least yung broad strokes maibabahagi ko naman po.
So okay, you're researching the uptake, in other words, the adoption, no? Kung paano siya ginagamit, anong extent ng paggamit. I presume hindi masyado pang ginagamit ang AI, no, sa Pilipinas. But may mga uses na, no? So paano ba ginagamit sa kasalukuyan ang artificial intelligence sa ating bansa?
So, hindi ko kayo nagkakamali doon, ano, medyo low pa talaga yung adoption niya or yung paggamit ng AI sa atin. Kung nagagamit man siya, more on, nakwento ko ito na specific to a task. So, for example, magta-transcribe tayo, ano. So, yan yung mga common na ginagamit natin yung mga AI tools. Or yun nga, ang mas common ngayon na pinag-uusapan ay yung ChatGPT or yung generative AI. So, mababa pa yung adoption natin. Kaya, what got me interested dito ay parang yung ating kasing conversation on AI or the narrative or yung discourse ay parang AI ay ChatGPT. So, parang yun yung usapan natin when pagtitingnan natin kung paano siya ginagamit in many other countries, ang laking bagay noong AI, in particular to investigative reporting, for instance. So, kumbaga, marami tayong examples ngayon of stories that would not have been possible kung hindi gumamit ng AI. And I'm
okay,
not speaking of generative.
Excuse me, Carol, no, before we, because I will ask you about how it's being used sa investigative journalism in other countries especially, ano, kasi hindi po masyadong ginagamit dito sa atin sa IJ. But nabanggit mo na rin yung ChatGPT, you know? That is pretty widely used now in the Philippines, pero maaring hindi pa, may mga listeners tayo na hindi pa nakakaalam kung ano yan. But basically, ChatGPT is just one tool that you can ask on the internet na it's artificial intelligence driven na makakasagot ng maraming tanong. And it can actually perform tasks where you can give it an assignment, like write me a speech about, you know, investigative journalism in the Philippines. Gagawa siya ng speech. I mean, hindi naman guaranteed na yun ang gusto mong sabihin or maganda yung ibibigay sa'yo. But meron siyang maibibigay, right? So, of course, ChatGPT is just one version nitong AI tool na to. I know my son uses Bard, no? And then other people use other tools, etc.
In ChatGPT, it's an online tool. Pag pinag-usapan namin to ni J. Mark, syempre may iba't ibang applications, pero ang pinaka mas nagagamit siya ngayon ay think of it as para kang mag-Google pero contextual yung ibibigay niya sa iyo na information. So, pero dahil nga, nabanggit natin yung generative, nakaka-produce siya ng content. Kaya naging ano no, controversial siya because yun nga ano, nakaka-produce siya ng content na parang tulad natin ano when we produce content also.
At saka yung malaking kaiba nito sa mga nakasanayan natin na search engine, no? Is that it does not provide you with any links. It does not bring you anywhere else. Hindi tulad ng Google, kapag meron kang nire-research, for example, if you want to search AI itself, Google will produce a whole list of links of websites where you can read about AI, no? But AI tools themselves will not give you any links. They will just give you what it thinks you want to know. Diba?
Right, right.
And this has a big effect actually on yung tinatawag na search referrals. That's a big source of traffic and eyeballs, no? For a lot of websites, a lot of media pages, news sites. So, ang laki ng impact nito in terms of yung internet models, business models ng mga web companies, websites. As you mentioned, people are doing their search on AI tools, which will not bring you to another web page, no? Unlike Google, no? So, it's actually changing the way we're using the internet.
Right. Isa yan, no, sa malaking issue with regards to generative AI tools, like ChatGPT, because yun, I think may ilang news outlets na, no, na parang pinapablock nila, ano, para hindi magamit yung mga news reports or information from their websites. Although I think ang bagong development rin ngayon, may mga iba naman na nagkakaroon ng licensing agreements na with, for example, ChatGPT, para yun nga, para magamit yung information sa kanilang website. So medyo ano po ito, no? Mabilis yung mga developments. Obviously, there are a lot of considerations. We've talked about ethical considerations already. And obviously, yung impact rin on news outlets, given na ang konteksto rin natin, of course, we're talking about disinformation as well. Parang even more so ngayon, di ba, mas kailangan natin, ayun nga, mas ma-access yung legitimate news sources. So, ayun, medyo halo-halo yung issues with regards to AI tools, ano, Howie. Gusto ko rin sanang magkaroon ng konting shift dun sa ating usapan, because obviously, granted yun, no, we are not discounting yung mga ethical considerations and yun nga, impact on our jobs, ano, maaaring threat yun sa ating jobs, not just in journalism, but lahat yata ng sectors, no, and fields of work pwede niyang maapektuhan. Ang iniisip ko ay whether baka we're missing out din naman doon sa potential niya sa ibang bagay. Ang ating discussion ay medyo yun nga, ano, naka-sentro doon. And tama naman, ano, na dapat siyang pag-usapan. Pero yun, kaya siya co-opting AI, babalikan pa yung tanong kanina, we might be missing out on other ways na para magamit yung AI to advance reporting or advance our work as journalists.
Okay, so based on your research, what are we missing out on pagdating sa AI, no? I mean, ano ba yung ginagawa na sa ibang lugar, ibang organizations or countries na pwede na natin sanang gawin ngayon dito sa atin at makakatulong sa ating trabaho bilang journalist?
Okay, maraming mga nag-aaral tungkol sa AI and journalism. So, isa na dyan ang Reuters Institute at saka yung isang organization na nagre-run ng tinatawag na Journalism AI. So, they've been doing this for quite some time already. So, obviously, yung literature ay medyo mas nakatutok sa Global North or yung experience sa West. So, if you look at AI and journalism, base sa mga studies na ito, maraming gamit siya doon sa buong entire process, ano, ng, ang tawag nila, the news-making process, from finding stories, producing stories, and presenting stories. So, kaya dito papasok yung magsa-start tayo, of course, with the transcriptions, and then pupunta tayo doon sa mga tools na maaaring makapag-process ng data or makapag-sift through ng data. So, palagay ko isa ito doon sa among the most parang powerful na kayang gawin ng AI, because maaring may mga stories na hindi natin makikita kung manually natin gagawin, ano, but with the use of AI tools, mas mapapadali, ano, yung ating paghahanap for stories. Maari rin siyang makatulong sa distribution or presentation of stories. Maaring ang pwedeng context niya ay, for example, for a lot of reporters, and especially maybe in the Global South where maliliit yung mga newsrooms natin, ano, oftentimes, ang context pag Global South, multitasker yung mga journalists. So, maaring pagod na pagod ka na sa pagbuo ng story mo, pero ikaw pa rin yung gagawa ng social media, for example, ano. So, isa yun dun sa mga finding na yun, maaring pwede rin makatulong yung AI dun sa nasa huling bahagi, ano, noong production process in journalism. So,
but balikan natin yung sinabi mo tungkol sa story production, nakakatulong sa pagbuo ng story as a research, sa reporting. Could you have examples kung paano nakakatulong ang AI? Have you come across any good reporting where nakatulong yung AI?
Actually, noong 2019, medyo hindi pa ganoon karami yung examples of AI-aided investigations, for instance. Ano? Pero nung nag-pandemic, malaking impact ito sa atin when yun nga sanay tayo na we go out to field. So ngayon, forced tayo to make do with what we have, ano, na may mga restrictions tayo, mobility restrictions. So, ang napansin ko doon sa research ay nagkaroon tayo ng maraming examples, at isa na rito ay yung mga pinoproduce ng International Consortium of Investigative Journalists or ICIJ. So, gumagamit sila ng, ang version nila, ano, pag pinag-usapan natin, specifically, ano, anong AI tool yung ginamit nila, they use machine learning to detect patterns. So ito ay, if you have a lot of records, ano, yun yung ginamit nila, computer vision to extract data. So ibig sabihin, let's say, we're talking about offshore leaks, for instance, na may nakita ka na pangalan ng mga Pilipino, ano, doon sa kanilang data set. So, yung computer vision, for instance, pwede niyang i-crawl yung millions of data and documents para mahanap saan lumalabas yung pangalan na ito, ano. So, ibig sabihin, mas makikita natin. So, ano yung sinasabi ng malaking leak na ito about this particular person? So, for example, doon sa ICIJ na project na yon, PCIJ took part in yung Paradise Papers. So, ICIJ is the same organization that came up with the Panama Papers, for instance. Pero dun sa Paradise Papers at saka yung FinCEN Files, isa ito dun sa projects or collaborations na nag-participate ang PCIJ. So, essentially, when we were logging in dun sa repository, we were using AI to crawl yung mga documents and data. So, balikan ko lang, ano, Howie, dun sa Paradise Papers, ang lumabas doon na mga pangalan. For instance, may ilan tayong mga members of government.
So you're describing the method. In other words, AI can help the reporter go through lots and lots of data na normally in a previous era, you would have to look at with a naked eye. No, it would take you days to look through maybe millions of data points, no? AI can do it in minutes or even seconds, no? And produce the results that you want, no?
The ICIJ stories have resulted in some of the most impactful global collaborations.
You mentioned the Paradise Papers.
So essentially po, ibig sabihin, may mga government officials na gumagamit pala ng offshore havens
to park their money.
Yes, makapag-evade ng pagbayad ng mga taxes, or may mga activities sila na idadaan sa isang tax haven para yun nga, essentially, hindi makapagbayad ng taxes. Tapos, may mga nahanap rin sila doon na apparently, yung ibang activities na ito ay related pala na may nagsusupply ng arms, no? So medyo related siya to war as well. So may mga ganoong findings itong investigation na ito. Na again, yun nga, it would have been probably impossible to find without the use of AI.
Okay, kasi somebody listening might be telling themselves, can't you use the find function sa mga Excel sheet or, di ba? I mean, why would you need AI to find the names which are there in the data na pwede mo naman i-search? Ano yung advantage ng paggamit ng AI in a project like that?
Well, una, we're talking about millions of files. So, it would really be impossible to do that na magko-control F lang tayo, for instance. So, obviously, malaking bagay siya na yung tedious process na ito ay makakabawas talaga ng oras. At pangalawa, yung accuracy rin. Kasi kung gagawin natin yun mano-mano, it would be really difficult kung hahanapin mo lang siya isa-isa. And pangatlo rin, maari ring ibang konteksto siya. So I'll give another example. So this was a story done by Armando Info 2 years ago. So this is in southern Venezuela. So nag-start sila with the lead na maraming illegal mines na nag-ooperate in southern Venezuela. Now, ang context pala doon, these are places na obviously hindi pwedeng mapuntahan because may mga gangs doon, So, it would be dangerous for a journalist, no, para i-plot ito kung nasaan ba yung mga illegal mines. So, ang ginawa noong team, this was led by Joseph Polisok at saka yung kanyang partner si Maria Ramirez. Pagtingin nila sa satellite imagery, ang isa palang pwedeng identifier ng minahan ay mayroon siyang airstrip. So obviously, kasi yun niya, para makuha yung supply, kailangan may pagkukuna, no? Kailangan may maglaland doon yung eroplano. So yun ang ginamit nila. So they used AI para, kumbaga, they fed into the system na pagka may ganitong airstrip, it's potentially a mine. So yun yung kinawa nila. So from just, a few mines na alam nila nag-exist, they were able to track na ganito pala yung extent ng illegal mining in southern Venezuela. So of course, again, nagamit yung AI para, kumbaga, to illustrate the extent of the problem. It's not just a matter of, mano-mano ba siya, no? Pero meron kang danger, no? May risk sa journalist if you would do it, you would go to field. So, that's another example.
Okay, nabanggit mo kanina, Carol, no? Si J. Mark. You're referring to J. Mark Tordesilla, who is a former editor-in-chief of GMA News online. He was also previously with PCIJ, but currently, he's at Harvard as a Nieman Fellow, and one of his projects there has been to develop AI tools for investigative journalism. No, have you had a chance to chat with him, talk about this with him, and actually try out his tools?
Yeah, I've tried the Koa Beat Assistant, and then I think ngayon may bago siyang ginagawa na ang tinitingnan naman ay budget records. I think maganda yung ginagawa ni J. Mark ngayon kasi yun nga, ina-align niya doon sa paano kaya natin ito magagamit ng mga Filipino journalists, in particular to, ano ba yung usual na pain points pagka nagre-report tayo. So, obviously, malaking bagay pagka usapang budget. So, obviously, yung COA reports.
Commission on Audit. Commission audit reports,
commission
kasi
audit
they,
reports. Yeah,
yeah. They often flag misuse of money or kind of suspicious uses of money, etc. So paano ginamit yung AI doon sa pag-imbestiga o pag-suri ng mga commission and audit reports?
Doon sa ginawa niyang tool, ang naging malaking tulong noon ay sa paghahanap ng leads, so pwede kang magtanong na yun nga, ano ang key findings from this particular commission and audit report. Now, obviously, of course, for journalists, it doesn't mean na kung ano man yung ilabas ng tool ay yun na yung ating ire-report. Pero palagay ko ang laking bagay noon na as opposed to reading the entire thing, which ideally, no, sana ganun nga, ano, but alam din naman natin na very technical siya, ang laking bagay nung may pagsisimulan tayo na lead. So for example, I was looking into Marikina City's Commission on Audit Report. One of my students nung previous semester, they were looking at yung use of special education fund. So when we tried the tool, lumabas nga ano na yon, mukhang may issue doon sa special education fund doon sa Marikina City. So doon sa proseso, nakatulong siya sa paghahanap ng story. Tapos yung time mo no na i-google sa paghahanap ng story, now ngayon pwede mo siyang gamitin para mas i-analyze anong nangyari doon sa paggamit ng special education fund in Marikina City.
Okay, so this COA assistant, that's what J. Mark has been calling it, or that's what you referred to it as, no? It's in the public domain. I mean, it's free. But, I mean, kung may nakikinig ngayon na journalism student or anyone who wants to try out the tool, it's just out there, no? It's a search lang and makaka-access ang tao.
It's just out there. When we were using it for the Marikina COA report, yung language nung assistant on the conclusive side. So of course, as a journalist, medyo ano tayo doon, ano, dapat mag-iingat because we haven't even seen the record itself, ano, at ano yung pinagbasihan nung COA assistant. So siguro yun nga, we know that this is public, pero si J. Mark Tordesillas rin naman very mindful din siya na yun nga, pagka gagamitin, of course, we also have to check the original file. And
don't let AI do all of the work, tapos ipapasa na lang natin sa publiko, no? I mean, kaya assistant lang yan, supposed to just assist us. So whatever conclusions it has, tama ka, we should be skeptical, we should question it, you know, we should come up with our own conclusion. Maybe aligned with the inputs of AI, pero dapat ay galing sa sarili natin utak din yon.
Kaya yung verification ay hindi pa rin dapat mawala. Sa UP, we invited him to speak about yung POA assistant at naging importanteng punto rin yung pinag-usapan namin ng shortcuts. Kasi obviously for us journalists, ano, bago dumating si POA assistant, which is this AI tool, we've been able to experience yung talagang nagbabasa ng COA report. Kahit hindi man siya productive, pero ang laking bagay noon sa atin na ma-apply rin natin sa ibang reporting. Ano? Kasi yun nga, alam natin na ano ba yung composition ng COA report, ano, paano ko ito i-analyze, or who else should I speak with para mas makapag-explain nung COA finding. So, yun din yung pinag-uusapan namin na dapat mindful rin tayo of yung mga possible shortcuts na may experience if we use AI tool. So, dapat punan natin yun by doing our own research, of course, and verification.
Okay, earlier, no, you mentioned that people, journalists especially, have been using AI to transcribe interviews. No? Our profession involves a lot of interviewing and transcribing of interviews para hindi tayo magkamali o hindi tayo nakabase lang sa notes natin or our memory. Minsan, it takes hours and hours to transcribe interviews ng dati. No? Ngayon, more and more of us are using AI tools to transcribe. Now, what can you tell us about this? Accurate ba yan? Yan ang isang malaking tanong eh. And in terms of the language, no, kaya ba nila yung ito? Halimbawa, yung pag-uusap natin ngayon, Taglish, alam mo, sa Pilipinas, maraming wika, maraming nagbibisaya, Ilocano, etc. So, ano din ba yung limits nitong transcribing and ano yung potential niya?
Well, of course, compared to maybe, you know, several years ago, I think ang laki nung leap ng improvement ng mga transcription tools ngayon. So, dun sa ilan ko na na-try, useful siya in a sense na kasi hindi ko naman gagamitin lahat, ano, yung buong transcript sa mga stories, but at the very least na-identify ko na ito yung may mahalaga siyang sinabi. Pero I always make it a point to listen back doon sa audio recording kasi may limit rin because as you said, hindi pa siya ganun kahasa pagka Filipino language. Common din yan sa, let's say, bahasa, ano. So, parang wala pa ngayon na tool na talagang kuhang-kuha niya yung Filipino or even more so yung mga dialects. Pero ang observation ko rin, may nakaka-capture siya na Filipino. So, kumbaga, helpful pa rin. Pero yun, may mga limits pa rin. Hindi rin siya very tedious for, you know, let's say an intern or a student to do the transcribing. So, malaking bagay yung tool na yan ngayon.
I myself, I transcribe also. No? So, lahat ng journalist dinadaanan yan. So, it's made the job of journalism a bit easier. No? But yung flip side itong co-opting AI, no, yung seeing how it can benefit our profession and other professions, no. Yung flip side niyan ay yung investigating AI naman, no. Ano bang kailangan imbestigahan diyan? I noticed in your presentation at the conference last week, no, you mentioned an AI accountability network, no. So making AI accountable, no. What should we be watching out for or what should we be careful about pagdating sa AI?
So, since last year, I joined as an AI Accountability Network Fellow of the Pulitzer Center. So, ito po ay second cohort pa lang, bago pa lang siya, ano. But basically, itong grupo pong ito ay we're working on AI accountability stories. So, essentially, what we're looking at ay yung mga ginagamit ba nating tools or services, if they use AI or if they use yung tinatawag natin na algorithms, tinitingnan natin kung paano ba nito nai-impact yung ating daily lives and whether or not may nakasilip ba sa mga algorithms na ito, ano, or regulated ba itong mga algorithms na ito. Kasi kung titingnan natin, hindi ba yung mga produkto like food products, cosmetics, they go through rigorous testing, di po ba, ano, bago mo ilabas sa market. Pero pagdating sa technology, medyo doon po tayo maraming gaps. So kaya maaring hindi lang tayo familiar, but maybe a lot of the tools that we use now on our smartphones, yung mga apps natin na to, they actually use algorithms na hindi natin alam na who made those decisions, ano. And yun nga, ano ang yung impact niya sa atin, ano, base kung paano natin siya ginagamit. So, parang ito po yung pagtitingnan natin ang nakausad dito sa reporting. Well, obviously, reporters in the US, in the UK, kasi yun nga, ano, they look at Silicon Valley, ano, naging parte ito nung tech reporting, ano, yung AI accountability. Pero malaking bahagi pa nito ang hindi pa na e-explore, especially in the Global South and of course the Philippines, kasi ang laki rin pala ng role natin sa AI. So kanina yung nabanggit ko ay investigating algorithms or yung tinatawag na black boxes. Pero kung titingnan rin natin paano ba gumagana yung AI, ito pala ay dahil we carried out a lot of the digital work na kailangan for AI systems to work. So, kaya dito lalabas yung term na data labeling, yung mga tinatawag na platform work. So, ito yung parte rin ito ng AI accountability reporting. Yun po yung tinitingnan ng mga reporters na part nitong network na ito. Tapos, kasunod rin naman nito, ayun nga, ay magkaroon ng training para there would be more AI accountability reporters.
Yeah, actually, I recall one of the slides in your presentation last week, no, was about digital sweatshops in the Philippines, no, itong mga kumbaga business processing centers in the Philippines, based in Cagayan de Oro, itong digital sweatshops na to, no. Mostly, according to the Washington Post article, no, na talagang nag-research ng malalim itong mga reporters dyan, no? And then, ang sinasabi ay there are actually a lot of people all over the world, and in the Philippines, there are 2 million daw working in these so-called digital sweatshops at very low pay. They are doing kumbaga quality assurance or quality control. Yung sinabi mo kanina, data annotation, no? Essentially, kasi for AI tools to work, they need lots and lots of data, no? Kung saan-saan ang gagaling. So but the data also has to be good data, no? Hindi pwedeng dumugi ng mga kasinungalingan, no? Yung data na ginagamit ng AI. Kaya may mga workers sa Pilipinas na nagle-label ito and reviewing it for accuracy, deleting some or recommending some for deletion or non-use by AI, no? So hindi alam ng marami yon na may ganun pala. So isa yon sa mga shinier mo doon sa presentation mo, that there's a very human element in behind the all of these AI machines, no? Itong machine learning ng AI, ang daming human inputs dyan.
Yeah, it's interesting because when we talk about AI, as you mentioned, ang laki ng human component pala noon. For example, yung mga nakausap ko, as I understand, these are for self-driving cars. So they mark road signs, no? Parang ano naman yun, no? Manonood sila ng video na may daan siya. I think it's a Japanese road yung isa kong nakita, no? So you can think, no, it's probably for, Japanese yung client naman noon, ano. So magmamark ka ng sign, ano, na may pedestrian dito or bridge. So ganung kind of work. That's what you do the whole day, no? May isang example naman, nakwento ito sa akin nung kasama ko dun sa fellowship sa Brazil naman, na ang tinitrain na AI ay para doon sa yung robot na vacuum, pero ang pinapagawa ay you have to take photos of dumi ng aso. Kasi apparently, syempre, yung AI, hindi naman niya alam na dumi pala yun, so maaring linisin niya. So, kailangan mo mag-input, mag-feed ng data na ito yung itsura ng dumi. So, dapat hindi mo siya lilinisin. So, may ganong type of data labeling work. So ito yung types of work na apparently yun nga, ano, a lot of countries in the global south, Philippines, Latin America, India also, ay ito yung ginagawa na trabaho. So malaki yung role natin doon sa supply chain. Tapos tiningnan natin yung labor concerns, which was brought up in the Washington Post report. Syempre maliliit lang yung bayad niyan, ano. Tapos yun, papasok naman tayo dun sa usapin ng platform work. Kasi yun, hindi naman sila regular employees, ano. So nagiging subject rin to exploitation yung mga digital workers.
O nga, sabi nga dun sa article, hindi lang mababa ang sweldo, madalas delayed ang sahod nila, at may mga instances na hindi na binabayara, no? But dahil nga kulang sa trabaho sa maraming lugar sa Pilipinas, talagang tinitiis na lang ng maraming Pilipino. But you know, for those listening and considering work like that, maybe that's something to think about, no? I want to ask you, no, kasi nabanggit mo kanina, one of the questions about AI, is it going to cause the displacement of workers, no? Inevitable yan pag sa mga bagong technologies, right? Pero lagi may pangako na it's going to create jobs. So it's going to displace workers, but they can be retrained for other kinds of jobs that are created by new technologies. To what extent is that true with AI?
So my research on this is still ongoing. But so far, I'm looking at obviously yung impact on the BPO sector. May mga lumalabas ng reports na sabi nila 1.8 million jobs raw yung mawawala with the adoption of AI. But so far, medyo complicated yung picture because you will hear, you know, stories na they use AI pero that would mean they would do other jobs. So, or maaring may maapektuhan but not the full-time or the regular employees. Even more so, magandang tingnan because obviously, you know, malaking bagay yung outsourced work sa Pilipinas. So kung isa ito doon sa maapektuhan ng AI, I think magiging malaki rin yung impact noon sa Pilipinas. But so far, I can't say anything conclusive yet kung yun nga, no, like let's say yung mga pinepredict na 1.8 million ay kailan ba yan or have we experienced it? But so far yun, ang consistent ay may ibang job na ginagawa. Kasi yun nga, maaring AI na yung gumagawa ngayon.
Well, Carol, nabanggit mo nga yung transcribing, no? So a lot of transcribing around the world is already being done by AI tools. This particular interview will also be transcribed with an AI tool. But we have not let go of our transcriber. Ang trabaho niya ngayon ay tiga-review ng transcript. Kasi hindi naman 100% accurate, no? Yung transcribing tool na ginagamit namin. So, kailangan pa rin ng tao na magre-review. As far as I know, wala pang na-displace despite the fact na naging mas efficient ngayon yung transcribing. But it's still far from perfect. So, kailangan pa rin ng tao, no? So, at least sa larangan namin, yung paggamit ng AI ay wala pa rin nawawala ng trabaho. But currently, it's just helped in our production. I want to pivot a little bit to something that's being discussed a lot, no? Yung deepfakes, no? Deepfakes. Itong mga video ng totoong tao na nagsasalita ng mga kung ano-anong nonsense na minsan delikado yung mga sinasabi nila, no? May panganib na hindi talaga nila sinabi, no? So that's why it's a deepfake. It's convincing. Minimimic yung boses nila. Minsan sumusunod pa yung bibig, no? Yung lips, no? So, nakakaloko, no? So, share your thoughts about this. What's the potential of that to cause great harm?
I think, sa umpisa, no, Howie, pag tinignan mo kasi, hindi ba parang halatang halata? At first glance, parang you wouldn't take it seriously kasi, kahit gaano pa smooth siya, alam mo pa rin na parang may something off. Pero that's me, no? From the point of view of maybe familiar sa ganito, no? I think it's a legitimate na parang source of concern yung mga ganitong lumalabas na material, lalo na may experience tayo with several elections already. I think our first one would be Argentina and then India also, na kung saan ginamit yung mga tools na ito para makapag-produce ng, you know, you have videos of a politician or a candidate running na pwedeng ipadala sa mga voters, o kaya may mga robocalls na magsasabi sa'yo na wag bumoto, no? So yung mga ganitong types ng content, dapat tutukan natin in a sense na saan ito nanggagaling. Kasi palagay ko malaki yung pwede niyang maging impact, especially yun nga pag pinag-usapan natin in the context of an elections. Tapos syempre, of course, dadagdag pa yan with the whole disinformation problem natin. Hindi sa sinisisi natin yung tao, no? Pero kasi kung yun yung ipinakita, no, maaring maniwala talaga tayo, ano, doon sa mga ganitong material. So, yeah, I think it's a cause for concern, lalo na yon, again, in the context of elections, for instance.
Okay, in the context naman of the university, no, where you teach, alam ko malaking issue din yan sa academe, no, kasi ang laki ng temptation para sa mga estudyante, even siguro professors also have to write and research, no, so ang laki ng temptation na gumamit ng AI. At ano ba yung boundaries dyan? I mean, I'm sure you do not tell your students not to use AI. Kasi tinuturuan mo nga ng mga tools, di ba? Pero hanggang saan ba dapat sila gumagamit ng AI?
Right now, ayun, pinag-usapan yan sa academia, no? Ano ba ang policy on AI? As I understand, mayroong nilabas ang university, pero parang hindi pa siya specific to, you know, like, sa production ng assignments, for instance. Sa akin naman, personally, ang worried ako ay doon sa pag-shortcut. So, hindi ko sinasabi na wag natin explore ang AI tools kasi kakasabi ko nga lang kanina, co-opting AI. Pero doon sa usapin na nasa university tayo at nag-aaral tayo, ano, especially in journalism, parang ang laking bagay nung ikaw yung nagbasa talaga, ano, to synthesize ano yung findings and everything. Kaya yon, this is something na hindi ko ine-encourage pagka magsusulat ka, of course, of a report, especially when we talk about original reporting, ano. Kasi obviously, if you use AI, saan niya yung ipupull, ano, from material na already published. So you still have to do your own interviews, make sense of the information that you got.
Okay, Carol, as a professor, can you tell if your students' submissions were the product of AI? May paraan na ba ang mga teacher, mga professor ngayon para malaman kung hindi yung original work pinagawa niya sa ChatGPT or another AI tool?
I think it's a little bit hard to detect. I know may mga tools na makakapag-detect, ano. Kaya lang, as I understand, yung ChatGPT, nag-i-improve rin siya eh. If you, let's say, you know, mag-enter ko ngayon ng one query and then you enter it again later, it won't give you the same results. So technically, if we follow that, no, if I enter the same, hindi ko matatrack mismo yung nahanap, yung sinubmit nung estudyante. So dito, titingnan mo yung portfolio niya, ano, yung work portfolio niya para ma-check mo kung, wait, ba't parang biglang nag-iba yung output niya ngayon when alam ko na ito yung quality of work na sinasubmit niya. So yun, medyo mahirap siyang i-detect.
So kailangan mo ng reliable benchmark. Kunyari, sa umpisa ng semester, ganito na yung output. Alam mo na yun ang trabaho niya kasi sa, you know, sa classroom niya ginawa, no? Nakita mo. And then later on, may assignment ang sinubmit. Napakalaking improvement or ibang-iba yung estilo or iba yung vocabulary words na ginagamit. Ganun ba? You really have to just trust your judgment on it, no? And
ako sa discussion rin, kasi syempre, what I do is I ask them to report about their outputs also. So, syempre, dapat pagka tinanong mo, ano, pina-elaborate mo, dapat madi-discuss din nila yun fully. Kaya lang yun nga, kasi ang context ko rin naman, dahil yun nga, ano, investigative reporting. Dahil may impetus on getting original information, medyo mahihirapan sila doon na gumamit ng AI kung may ipapa-summarize sila, no, or may iaasa sila na sa AI tool na gawin yung parte ng report na yon. They would have to interview people for that or analyze data for that.
Okay, my final question, Carol, are you more optimistic than pessimistic about AI? Kasi maraming mga scenarios, maraming opinions for the future, may mga nagsasabi na, you know, even technology leaders may nag-i-issue ng warning na if we're not careful, AI will take over the world. You know, it's going to take control of institutions. Magkakaroon ng super intelligence, no, in the near future where they're going to disregard human judgment and decision making and make decisions on their own. On the other hand, may mga nagsasabi, no, yung AI ang magsisave sa humanity. It's going to enable us to solve problems, etc. Where do you stand on this?
Usually, ganyan yung conversation, either doomsday or techno-solutionism nga na this is the answer. But I think if titingnan rin natin yung history with yun nga, pagdating ng print and then internet, parang the reality is somewhere in between. So sa akin siguro, I am cautiously optimistic because I've been using the tools and na-experience ko yung advantages niya. So yun din sana yung ma-practice rin ng iba para we're able to harness AI to improve our reporting. Kaya yun nga, co-opting AI. However, pagka may mga usapin tayong alignment, yun yung medyo nakakakaba, no? Yan, alignment na parang ito na yung usapin ng general AI na may mga depiction tayo na capable siya of reasoning and all. I-monitor din natin ito kasi a lot of these things are happening na behind the scenes, ano? Yun nga, yung paggamit ng mga algorithms. So siguro ang kaakibat naman noon ay dapat we also investigate and we also seek accountability dito sa mga AI systems na ito. So, in that regard, kung gagamitin man yan for purposes to sway elections, for instance, kailangan mag-raise ng awareness in that regard. Kasi definitely, that's not how we want AI na maging ganon yung impact sa atin.
Okay, so you are cautiously optimistic, and the key word there, of course, is cautious. Good advice. So we want to thank you on that note, Carol. No, thank you for sharing and for your valuable research on this transformative technology. We're looking forward to your book, Professor Carol Ilagan, journalist, researcher, at faculty member sa UP Diliman. Maraming salamat at mabuhay ka.
Thank you, Sir Howie. Maraming salamat po.
Thanks for listening, Podmates. Download this episode so you can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Stay safe, Podmates.